Delighted to say my special guest today is Roger Martin from Dreamboats and Petticoats, currently playing in the Opera House. Let's have a wee snippet. Just some of the songs featured in the soundtrack to Dreamboats and Petticoats. Roger Martin is here with us. Roger, how you doing?
I'm very good, thank you.
Very nice of you to take the time to come and see us, because it's a kind of hectic week, isn't it?
It's always hectic because we arrive, do it and go. It always feels a little bit like that. But I was out yesterday walking the city. I'm going off to the cathedral later on to meet the choir boys. I'm hoping to move into the community more while I'm here. I like doing that. We're here for such a brief time. You might as well enjoy the city.
But it's a pity, because I know I have a lot of friends in bands and they're actors and everything else, and they'll say sometimes they come home from a tour and they'll think it wasn't good because all I saw was the airport and a hotel room.
That's right.
If they don't get a chance to get out and about.
I feel exactly the same. What's the point of being here if you can't actually get a feel of the city? There's a rich vein. We're going to 26 cities in 26 weeks. I can either sleep through them all, or I can get out on my feet and go and see what they're like.
It's an awful shame, because it's a great opportunity.
It's a fantastic opportunity.
Yeah. I'm looking down your CV, and I know you actors, you know, tend to have loads and loads. So I don't know how big your parts were in these.
Okay.
Casualty. Terry and June, EastEnders, Midsummer Murders. Did you get killed in it? No.
No, I didn't. I took Barnaby along to the school where the murder happened. I was his great friend, because he was looking out for a place to send, I think, his son or somebody. My son was already there. So
because you know what it's like in Midsummer. Well, if you're a casual character, you're going to get killed.
I was very lucky.
Yeah.
I think I got murdered by the editor, because my part was a bit shorter than I intended it to be, though.
Shine On, Harvey Moon. You were in that. You were in Judge John Deed.
Yeah.
I mean, and then you've done all kinds of stuff in the theatre. Midsummer Night's Dream, of course. Mm-hmm. Is it the aim of most actors to get a Shakespearean play under their belt at some stage?
Depends where your training was, what your background is. If you go straight to the Guildford School of Acting these days, you probably want to be in musical theatre.
Yeah.
I trained at the Guildhall School of Music and Drama, which had the music side running parallel with it. But I started my career in 2 or 3 years in rep and spent 3 or 4 years with the Royal Shakespeare Company as well. So yes, for me it's very important. And I love moving in and out of the classics through television and into what we call the jukebox musical.
Yeah, is the Shakespearean stuff the hardest to do?
Ooh, hardest in some ways. It's a different discipline. In some ways, the hardest is comedy. Because although making comedy look easy is difficult, you've either got to have some inherent music or timing within you, and then if it's more farcical, the repetition, the rehearsal that you've got to do to make something look as if it's happened absolutely spontaneously and naturally. So I would say to you that comedy is probably the most difficult discipline, the most difficult genre to do.
Right, it's supposed to do well, because there's nothing worse than a joke that falls flat. It does create a vacuum in an audience.
Yes, it can.
Oh, when people realise, oh, that was supposed to be funny. And it's like, and everyone's cringing for the people who are trying to, you know, get the joke across.
That's right.
And you've done Privates on Parade.
Yeah.
Beauty and the Beast as well.
Yeah. I played the father in that up at Leeds at the West Yorkshire Playhouse a few years ago now.
So you've done, you've done all kinds. Is there any kind of particular project that you always wanted to do that you never got taking on?
I'd like to have done more of the same. I think the genre of comedy to which I belonged when I was in Terry and June, No Place Like Home, and working with the great Dave Allen, one of my favourite people in the whole of...
Did you work with Dave Allen?
Yeah, I did series of sketches, seasons of sketches with Dave, and he and I became very good friends. And I was very sad when he died.
He was a legend, absolutely, and very groundbreaking as well for his time, you know, and very irreverent, as we know.
Which is why I liked him, but he and I were both... politically the same in the way that we were motivated by injustice wherever we saw it.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter whether it's religious, political, social, sexual, it doesn't matter. Dave and I we chimed in that way, and I respected him for lifting the lid. Some people didn't like him, and I'm sorry that some people didn't like him, because he wasn't a man of hate.
Because he did target a lot of things that were considered taboo, and he sort of, you know, targeted a lot of sacred cows, if you like, you know, kind of thing. And as you say, some people didn't like him for it.
No, and I can understand
that. He didn't care.
No, he didn't. Because he wanted to break that ground. He wanted to break the hypocrisy that was there. And I think if you start the debate... You're a great man, and we've got a lot to be thankful for him. Those of us that have continued the debate, or the whole raft of modern stand-up comedy, which is, I think, spawned by what Dave did during the 1970s and 80s.
Yeah. No, I would totally agree with you. I've had this discussion before about Dave Allen, and he could have played it safe and just done very easy material, but he never did.
No, he didn't. And the joy for me, Johnny, was that he was also a lovely, lovely man. The man that was angry about injustice was a deeply compassionate human being.
Yeah.
I was immensely fond of him. And I'm still getting repeats from his things. And the last time I saw him, he said to me, "Hi, good to see you, Roger." He said, and the first thing he said to me was, are the repeats still rolling here? I said, "Yes, thank you, mate. Thank you."
Oh, good stuff.
Yeah.
So listen, Dreamboats and Petticoats.
Yes,
I mean, I'm assuming it's a vehicle for all this great music. Is there... is there a real story?
There's a fabulous story, and it's beautifully told by Lawrence Marks and Maurice Gran, Low and Mo, who wrote Birds of a Feather. Yeah. Without that, there would be no musical. Jukebox musicals are two a penny. They come, they go. This one has stood the test of time because, first of all, it came from the albums, Dreamboats and Petticoats, the brand, and it was given to Lawrence Marks and Lawrence and Low and Mo. We have to call them Low and Mo. It's easier to do it that way. String this together. They came up with a script which is of the genre of the comedy of the early 60s, sort of Carry On, really, or post Carry On, or watered down Carry On. And it's a boy meets girl story. And the music, in the same way that Mamma Mia works so brilliantly, where you go, oh, no, they're not going to... Yeah, oh, they are going to sing that song. And it fits. How the hell did that fit in there? You do exactly the same with this, with all these disparate songs from 1959 to 61, post-Elvis, post the arrival of Elvis and pre the arrival of the Beatles. So it's this very rich sort of rock and roll influenced time and balladeers that are happening at that
time. But you mentioned the phrase boy meets girl. 90% of the rock and roll songs had that as their theme, basically, you know?
I think most poets in the world have been moved by love more than anything, haven't they? So here we are with these string of 44 different numbers in this.
It's incredible.
Most of them are about or centred around love.
Yeah.
And the whole thing is set in a youth club, which I run. My character, Phil, is the dad of Bobby, who's the hero of the piece. And all the boy meets girl stuff happens there. Then I suggest they enter a song competition, which they do. I take them down to Southend as the trip where they then fall in love and boyfriends are changed and girlfriends. Oh no, that's not going to happen, is it? And so the bad guy temporarily gets the good girl and all of that sort of stuff. Everything that we've been through in our own teenagers.
You know, maybe running parallel to Greece, that kind of thing.
Very similar. It could be a British Greece, but that's too much of a label to put on it. It's Dreamboats and Petticoats.
I told listeners earlier on, my mum went to see it last night. She said it was absolutely terrific.
That's really nice.
And the audience participation is a big thing. And apparently in Belfast last night, everyone was up dancing.
That's right. I mean, during the show, they sometimes frown on it. But at the end, I'm afraid we want to encourage people to get on their feet. And if there's, you know, if there's 800 people, as there was last night in the Opera House, on their feet, it's not that you're going to spill into the aisles. You're dancing in your seats, and they were all up there.
But with that music, it's hard to resist. You know, the music is so brilliant.
I think so.
And you've mentioned the series of CDs. I remember when Volume 1 came out, and you think, well, That's great. That encapsulates the rock and roll era. I don't, are they on volume 6 or something?
Something
now?
Like that.
And it's all treble CD. So, I mean, it just shows you how many great songs there were written and produced during that time.
Yep. And that's what gave birth to, and we were the first. This is the first show which is derived from an album. So United Music had the idea, or Bill Kenwright approached United Music and said, hang on, that sounds like a show to me. Let's do it. And so that's when it was given to Low and Moe.
It's brilliant. I mean, it really, really is terrific. So last night was the first night in the Opera House.
Yeah.
When does it run until?
Until Saturday of this week.
On Saturday.
So in this great week of celebration for the Irish, we're offering
right.
a little bit of celebration.
In the lead up to St. Patrick's Day.
Indeed,
Is there a matinee on Saturday?
There is indeed, yeah.
Yeah.
2:30 matinee on Saturday and 2:30 matinee on Thursday. Tickets are going well, but we've still got plenty of room for other people to come in and see us.
Good stuff.
And we'd love to see them.
Say, my mum rang me this morning and says, you make sure you tell people just how good that show is.
Well, that's lovely. She's obviously a woman of immense taste.
Oh, yes. Oh, no, no. Listen, she'll tell me. My mum's the type will ring me after a radio show and say, not a great one today. So when she rings me and says, listen, tell people that show was brilliant.
We're proud of it. You know, the jukebox musicals can come and go, but this one has got some integrity. It's got a lot of fun. All the songs, the characters, some terrific dancing, terrific. And I get to play a red electric guitar, the old Fender Stratocaster.
Do you?
I do. And I get to dance and sing and play this wonderful, these great scenes which have been written by Low and Moe, two of our greatest
I hope the producers aren't listening, but judging by your face when you said that about playing the Fender, you would actually pay to be in this musical.
Don't tell Bill Kenwright that I would, but you're getting near the... That's why I'm back for the fifth time, Johnny.
Yeah, fifth time. Yep. Listen, Bill Kenwright, I'd say if Bill could save your wages, he could buy another player for Everton.
Well, I think I've got the lower shin of one of his centre-forwards at the moment. Yeah.
Roger, listen, thanks for coming in. I'm going to finish on one of the songs that your character sings, yeah?
All right.
Shop Around.
I do, I sing that, but this will be David Cardi from the original, I presume, will it?
Yeah. Okay, listen, Roger, you're a star. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, sir.
Life is a lot more complicated than you know. When I became of age, my mother called me to her side. She said, son, you're growing up now. Pretty soon you'll take a bride. And then she said, just because you've become a young man now, there's still some things that you don't understand now. Before you ask some girl for a hand now, keep your freedom for as long as you can now. My mama told me, better shop around.
Shop,
oh,
shop,
yeah.
Shop.
You better shop around.
Shop, shop around.
Well, there's some things that I want you to know now. Just as sure as the wind is gonna blow now. The women come, the women gonna go now. Before you tell them that you love them so now. My mama told me, better shop around.
Shop,
oh,
shop,
yeah.
Shop.
You better shop around.
Shop, shop around.
Well, try to get yourself a bargain, son. Don't be sold on that very first one. For any girl's got a dime a dozen. Try to find a one that's gonna give you true loving. Before you take a girl and say I do now. Make sure she's in love. Make sure her love is true now. I hate to see you so sad and blue now. My mama told me, you better shop around.
Shop,
oh,
shop,
yeah.
Shop.
Uh-huh.
Shop, shop around.